Okay, for the sake of time, why don't we just start with Virgil, and then when she gets on, we'll go to Lydia. Virgil? Virgil, excuse me.
Yes. So is that okay, everybody?
Yes, go on.
All right. Hi, this is Virgil Reimer, General Manager of WBAI, and I'd like to thank you for inviting me to this meeting. So I'm going to get straight down to the point, addressing, you know, discussion of WBAI and LMA and the state of WBAI. Financially speaking.
Hello, this is Lydia.
Okay, I'll let Lydia go first.
Okay, Lydia.
No, I didn't want to speak. I'm just announcing I'm on the call.
Okay, Lydia, we were going to your report first, but we started with Virgil. If you want to start now, we can go with Virgil. It's up to you. What do you want to do?
I didn't have a particular report, and I don't know what's been going on, so let Virgil go first.
Okay. Virgil, sorry to interrupt. You can start with your report, and then afterwards we'll have questions, and then go to Lydia.
Okay. So as I said before, I'm going to go straight to the point. Thank you again for inviting me to talk about BAI and to give my opinion on this idea of LMA. Financially speaking, WBI, where do we stand right now? We owe about $118,000 to the national office for 7 months, and we owe about 8 months to Pacific Radio Archives. So that's $152,000 in total. And then other external bills that are outstanding right now comes up to $54,000. And so that's actually extremely, based on my conversation with Efren, who's been at the national office in the finance for a long time, just like an hour ago, perhaps better than if he hadn't been, considering that we are only 2 weeks, a week and a half away from starting our October drive. We are very, very likely going to make our payroll, which has never happened before. Like usually around the end of September, we always borrow money from the national office to cover our payroll. But as you know, that there's no more money, so we're probably going to make the payroll daily and launch into the October drive. Like other stations may have started the drive early to make their bills or extended the drive. We have not done that. So my goal is this drive is going to be pretty successful, especially that I did get Tony Bates in New York for a while preparing this drive and getting premiums ready. So in summary, $152,000 to the national office. We've paid, 5 months of to the national office and 4 months of PRA. Actually, that's more than we've ever paid to national office. Not that this is a great thing, but just to give you the facts as they are. And then $54,000 outstanding to external vendors. Considering premium, from 2011 to February 2016 drive, we have close to 2,700 premium outstanding. And that's about 4% of all premiums that we have processed. That's usually pretty good. Normally you want zero, but, a great number is about 2.7%. So we're at 4% right now. Besides that, concerning financial documentations, financial information, documentations of whatever it is asked from the national office. It might take a little while for us to get the information to the auditors, which might be a problem, but we usually find 95% of all that information to submit to the national office. Anything that is asked for, as a matter of fact, the national office has full access to accounts and full transparency. And every 15th of the month, we can reconcile the bank accounts so that the national office can close the books easier. So I think we're probably more compliant than anybody, just about anybody. Programming an event is what I'm excited about. We have a few event, a few programs right now that are connecting to the city. It's an art between art and kind of political comedy. People who are very connected to the city, and we are getting a lot of hits, and we are getting a lot of requests for people to come on our shows. Some of the shows are Live on the Fly with Randy Credico, where we have interviewed Julian Assange, you name it. You know, if you want to have these interviews available, we can make them available to you, because I think we are, like, really at, you know, at the cutting edge of getting information on that show. We also have we have the Laura Flanders show. It's a 15-minute synopsis, a really good 15 minutes to 30 minutes. We have the Katie Halpern show, which is like, she's like a young New Yorker, Brooklynite, and she's really connected to the community, to the movement in the city and in Brooklyn. And we have on Friday, we have State of the Art, and we have a few other shows that I'm really excited about. Also, I started to implement the Latin language program at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm excited about the prospects of what we are looking into. You know, we started with Monday with La Voz Latina, and it's very powerful. You know, they have direct connections with Venezuela, and talking about the Venezuelan revolution and all that kind of stuff, and Latin America. We're tapping into, you know, the struggle in Haiti and in the Dominican Republic with the progressive Dominicans and stuff like that. And we have, of course, Rebel Diaz, that most of you know all about. So that's where WBI is at. And then, so now to make my plea to you, or to my argument to you about even considering WBI for an LMA, I think WBI is at strongest point this past 3.5 years, ever since we left 120 Wall Street, since Hurricane Sandy, and then we are slowly always catching up on some external debts and bills that we are paying. And so what I have given you is what we have outstanding, and then we are current on just about every other bill, health benefits, and everything else you can think of. So, with a very successful fund drive, I'm projecting, or even increasing the fund drive by 10% in revenue, increasing it from 8,000 change per day to about 9,600 per day, by 1,000 or 2 per day extra, we will be in a very good position. Now, why do the WBI books look a little strange and it's because of the Empire State Building. You know, we are accruing a certain amount of number, and we're paying a certain amount of number. I'd like to go into executive session and discuss that more in detail, but I do not foresee that as a problem. I don't see that as a problem. So if you want to have me in executive session, I can tell you why I don't see that as a problem. And besides that, after having a few hard weeks, I am really, really, really looking forward to WBAI thriving. I think we are going to be one of the strongest, programming stations in the network the way we're going. And that is it for me. I think that's 10 minutes, right?
Yes. Okay, Lydia, you have 10 minutes.
Ah, okay. So the LMA was raised as an option by former Executive Director Summer Rees. We posted the RFPs, we advertised, in other words, for people to apply, for entities to apply. And we had a number of proposals. The last time I spoke to John Krigler not long ago, he said we didn't have to repost it. They were probably still current enough as long as we give people, the entities, the option to revisit it, update, and so forth. And, you know, since I wasn't on the beginning of the call, I don't know if the LMAs were described. It's the LMA is a local marketing agreement. It's also referred to as a public service operating agreement and a time brokerage agreement, a management agreement, various other things they're often referred to. But in a nutshell, the licensee, that would be us. We hold a license. We hold the broadcast license. And so an LMA can, for all intents and purposes, only, like, use it, lease it. That's why it's called or referred to as a marketing agreement, a leasing of the license. But they don't really lease it in the way that you would lease a home necessarily. We have to retain, we would have to retain vigilance over it and over the programming and so forth. We can keep a manager and another staff person. The benefit would be to not have to incur the monthly expenses of operating WBAI while we catch up with an enormous debt to Empire State. That's part of it. And also the fact that the income, even as I don't minimize what Berthold has said, but the fact of the matter is that if you're dealing at the network... Hello? Am I done?
Does
everyone mute their phone? Did everyone mute this? Okay.
Excuse me. So it's one of the largest signal areas, and yet we only collect half as much as we do from the other two large stations, which are KPFA and KPFK. So the central services that have been afforded WBAI because of its situation, its rather unique situation, is about half of what it would be for the other stations. Consequently, the network expenses cannot be met. And if we go back to the original, to when we used to have a higher percentage of central services, at 17%, for example, and that's really about what it takes to sustain the network in terms of the national office, that it would WBAI would not be able to afford that for sure. All of the stations, you know, are struggling, so I don't want to make it seem like this is just WBAI. But WBAI has a unique situation of an enormous debt and has a very small listenership, has dwindled considerably despite the aspiration to increase the listeners, which I don't doubt, and by the way, with an LMA, depending on how it was crafted, it's entirely possible that some of the successful programs...
Can everyone mute their phones or not? You can hear. Okay.
On the station can be, you know, maintained. These are individual contracts, and they're all quite different, and... So at the time in 2013 and 2014 when these proposals were submitted, that there was the majority of the board felt that WBAI should be afforded some time to come up with some solutions and a turnaround plan. And so it's up to this board to determine if that turnaround plan was sufficient. There was a plan that was submitted, whether the results is up to this board to decide that. Meanwhile, the recovery plan that I submitted and it was approved and it was discussed in open session last week affords me the opportunity to move ahead and start at least inquiring whether anyone is still interested in doing this. The it's not very favorable, I might add, for the LMA. A lot of control stays in the hand of the license holder. That would be Pacifica. That's a good thing. Often the, and this isn't true of all of the proposals, most of the proposals did contain in them the option of first refusal should we sell. But it's not really like a sale. Definitely FCC, you know, retains the license. It would mean we give up the license and in exchange, blah, blah, blah. That's how we've had enormous offers in the past. That's not what's being proposed here. What's being proposed here is to absolve the network from the supporting WBAI at the level that it has in terms of compensating for the shortfalls over years now, and because of that enormous debt at Empire, but also because, and again, I don't know, you know, how Bertel does it. He wears, like, I don't know how many hats he'd have to tell you. But to maintain and to grow listenership is a challenge for the whole network. But the degree to which the listenership and membership has dropped at BAI is very dramatic. So the board can either, you know, can do whatever it chooses to do. But those are kind of the basic elements. And again, it's a contract. So like any contract, you can have, you know, some what we would like to see, how much programming perhaps that we would like to have of our own, et cetera, et cetera. So these are all negotiated terms and contracts with a lot of levels to it. These are complicated contracts, I might add.
Okay. That's it. Okay, what we'll do now is we're going to have 10 minutes to take questions from P&B members to either the general manager or the executive director. We'll take a stack and...
Janet, I'd like to have a stack.
Before the stack, Tony, I have a point of procedure.
Yes. Serene.
So since Lydia was not on the call and doesn't know that we didn't discuss the LMA/PSOA, I'm wondering if you could address the agenda so you take, even if it's 3 minutes, or someone takes 3 minutes to explain what a PSOA/LMA is, because I'm not sure that everyone on the call knows.
We'll get Lydia to go over that, to explain that.
Okay. I thought I did. You want me to do it now?
Yeah, Lydia, you can quickly make a distinction between the two and explain those.
I mean, between the two? No, an LMA, again, it's called a local marketing agreement. And basically, Pacifica would hold on to the license. It still belongs to Pacifica, assigned to Pacifica by the FCC. FCC is adamant about that. The LMA allows another entity, and when we took the vote, by the way, in 2014, we did narrow it down for only nonprofits. Not nonprofits, non-commercial. And and so that limited it down considerably from those that applied. It allows you to keep a manager plus another staff person. The payroll and everything for the station is picked up by the LMA normally. Again, these can all be crafted. That's the advantage, is that the expense, the money going out the door, is absorbed by the LMA. That is actually the intent. You are not allowed to have the LMA pay for your debt. So they would not be able to, for example, pay for the Empire State Building debt. And they could, each LMA has different visions of how much of the programming they would absorb, and they would change, and others not that interested in changing much of it, except perhaps, you know, drive time or whatever. So it varies quite a bit as to their interest for going into an LMA. That's from the LMA perspective. But that's basically what it is. They're just kind of leasing, we would be leasing to them out programming time on the air, but we do not give up control of the license or even of the programming content relative to it abiding by FCC regulations, et cetera. Was there more during that you had in mind? I kind of thought I had.
Okay. We're going to take.
Janet.
And then Janet.
Bill.
And then who is that?
Bill.
Okay.
And Jonathan.
Okay. And we got 10 minutes of question for PNB members. Our timekeeper, could you keep up? Okay, Margie.
Thank you.
At 9 seconds for individual.
I don't know.
Let me just say this also. We get 9 seconds for response from either Lydia or Virgil.
Sure.
For the questions. Okay, Margie.
I have a question for Bertolt, and I have a question for Lydia. My question to Bertolt is, you talked about being able to, you're looking forward to a fund drive, being able to make payroll, but that does not include central services. Is that correct? You're not saying that you'll also be able to pay central services, right?
We would pay a chunk of central service.
Okay, and you said that you had that you owed I don't know $100,000+, but that's just for this fiscal year. Is that correct? There's money for fiscal years that's not included. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Lydia, my question to you is, have you contacted, I believe that in the end, I know we're not going to talk about this in open session, but I think there were two entities that were interested in an LMA. Maybe there were others, I don't remember. But have you contacted any of them so far now at this point?
No, not yet, since this meeting is pending. I would wait.
Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, Janet.
Yeah, so I have two questions for Lydia and two for Bertolt. For Lydia, if we don't go with an LMA, how would WBAI pay its debt? I mean, actually, that's the same question for the GM. And, you know, what other strategy would be in place or is in place to pay the debt and all the other expenses ongoing? The other question for Lydia is, with an LMA, what happens with membership? Would people be members of the LMA or of BAI? And then the second question for Bertolt is, what are you doing to grow your membership?
Okay, so in terms of the finances are the focus of this, right? That the reason to go into an LMA is to relieve Pacifica of the station's operating expenses until we resume complete responsibility for the station again. And so that's, you know, the purpose of it. In terms of everything from the board to everything, or, you know, the how the local board would operate in relation to it, as well as membership, would be one of those negotiating points. If the entity that's coming in doesn't have a membership, criteria, for example, if that's not what they do, if they advertise, for example, let's not forget WBI is on a commercial license part of the dial, as well as non-commercial. They can do either or, and that's what has given it its value up to this point. So in terms of we would have oversight of the finances as well as the entity does. Ultimately, we have to maintain our 501c3 and everything else. So those things relative to membership, we would certainly have to work out relative to whether we would retain a membership list, whether they would be obliged to share that with us, etc. All of those would be points of negotiation. As I said, it's a very complicated process. But at the end,
Yeah, Lydia, you want to wrap, do your final statement so we can move on?
But at the end, the board has to decide whether the debt and whether the plans to turn it around enable us to sustain the station. That's a board decision.
Bertel, did you want to respond to those questions?
Yeah, well, I don't remember the two questions exactly, but as far as increasing membership, you know, I mean, it's clear everybody knows that programming, we have to make adjustments and work on our morning show. And advertising, we're doing a lot more events with Professor Wolf and that kind of stuff to be out there. I'm also counting on the mailing that Lydia is about to do to see how that eventually going to result, especially that a big chunk of the list is from the WBI area. And the other part I'd like to talk about, as I said in the executive session, is the Empire State Building, because that's a discussion I think I'd like to give my opinion about that situation in executive session. Besides that,
Chair, may I remind, it's Jana, can I remind the GM of the question?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, so it was, what alternative to the LMA do you have to address the financial, your financial situation and the debt and the central services, et cetera.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Basically, the alternative is to address the $152,000 that we have outstanding to the National Office and Pacifica Radio Archives. The other item, as I said, I'd like to discuss in executive session, but $152,000 for the year, increasing the fund drive goal by 10%, the 10% increase would take care of most of that problem. And as I mentioned before, programming, like beefing up the morning show programming, which is like a prime time, in New York, advertising events and the mailing that by Lydia. We also have a group of people who are actually looking at a list of major donors and crafting a letter, and we're about to call them to reach out. So these are the plans. The list of the major donors I have finally worked on that list, and so I know what that list looks like, what it is, of our entire membership, major donors, different level of donors and stuff like that. And that's basically it.
Okay. Bill.
Okay, thank you. Let me write down the time here. Okay. Thank you.
GM and the executive director, 90-second responses. Yeah, Bill.
Okay, thank you. Those of us who were not on the board 2 years ago still have not seen those proposals. We haven't seen the RFP. So we should see that. But I agree with Lydia, though, in principle. I think there's not much in it for Pacifica. And as Lydia was saying, it would not allow any chance whatsoever of WBAI repaying the debt for the Empire State Building tower rental if we had an LMA, because it can only sustain current expenses. So we're going to be stuck with that debt, if for sure, with an LMA. I guess I'm maybe encouraged. I hope, Bertold, that the programming changes you're making now, or the U-20 budget, will maybe generate some more revenue. I don't know. I guess we need to wait and see for the next few months and see how this fund drive does. But I know your listener support dropped by almost $1 million in 2015, which is a huge amount, but I would assume it could be changed, that whatever happened then could be reversed. And also, I have a question, does that relate to programming, or do you think that's reversible? Because we do need some specifics. We need some, you know, concrete ideas of how can the revenue slide be reversed. You're in the biggest market in the country, and there's lots of potential, but we're just not seeing it. So I'm really worried about that.
Okay, I'd like to, you want me to address that, right? To respond to you quickly?
Yes, thank you, please.
Yeah, in 2015, as you said, revenue dropped by $1 million. This is what happened. 2014, by the end of 2020.
Everyone mute their phones so we can hear. And yes, Bertel, can you continue?
Okay, by the end of 2014, we had a close to $1 million drive. And then in September, October, we had some personnel changes, and our drive dropped to $650,000. We had Hurricane Sandy. From that point on, our drive dropped.
Janet, point of personal privilege?
Yes.
Somebody is pressing keys on their phone. That's what it sounds like, and
yes,
that's what happened back in January and February, and I'm worried about it. Whoever is doing that, stop. And
okay, Bertel, can you continue?
Okay, I'm gonna recap very quickly. July 26, 2014, we had close to $1 million drive. And then we had some personnel changes and issues. And then in October, we went down to $650,000. And then we've been going down since then. Our membership, we were maintaining at about 18,000. And it went down since then to about 6,700. I just made some changes, at least temporarily, that will address those changes that were made to focus on fundraising and some programming, and I'm going to see what happens in October. And then also, I made personally some changes, programming changes. I mean, just shuffle things around, really. I never really removed too many programming because of a lot of issues. So we will see what happens. But I want people to be clear about the fact that there's a direct correlation between what happened in 2014 when there was some decision made, you know, and part of that was done by the local station board. And that affected our fund drive capacities. And then that's when we went to having to lay off 29 employees. So, you know, give me some autonomy, and then I will bring the station.
Okay, Jonathan.
Did you want me to respond? This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia, if you can quickly respond.
Yeah, I did not mean to imply that central services would not be picked up by the LMAs. I would think that most of central services would be relevant to the maintenance of the station, since the central services expense has to do with paying, you know, our NPR access when we broadcast, paying our insurance policies and so forth for the properties and licenses and all kinds of things that are relevant to the ongoing operation of the station. Therefore, I foresee that we legitimately include the central services in there, and excuse me, and that and given, you know, right up front, as we said, the $150,000 owed in just this year, central services, multiply that times the back years, you can see what the hit has been to the network. So this is a network issue, and right now it's the membership at KPS at WBAI is equal to that of a much smaller signal area such as KPFT and WPFW. That's where that membership is tantamount to. And I think, again, depending on how we craft it, and I'm one of the people when I was on the board that voted against an LMA back then, but having given all of this time to finally catch up and not be behind in central services and not be behind in all these things and not have dropped the membership so low, I am now open to it. It's not my decision. It's definitely the board's decision. I am open
time.
To it, depending on how the LMA agreement would be crafted and what costs they would assume.
Okay, Jonathan.
Mr. Chair,
Yes.
We pass the 10 minutes to a Q&A, or we need to stand, or the Q&A is finished.
Okay. Is there a motion to extend, or else we'll go into the...
Serene moves to extend by 10 minutes with certain restrictions.
What are your restrictions?
What do you mean by restrictions? Are you extending by 10 minutes?
That one person cannot ask four questions if we have 10 minutes for a bunch of people to talk to two other people. I mean, really.
Really, they're restricted to the 90 seconds. If they can get it off in 90 seconds, they can't go beyond the 90 seconds. But is there a second to extend 10 minutes, or is there any objection?
Second.
I second.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Tony. Maybe I want to change it. How many people are on the stack?
I had only two more people, Jonathan and Michael.
Oh, I had asked to be on the stack.
Oh, okay. Right.
Anybody else?
No.
Okay.
10 is good. Thank you.
If there any objection to extension of 10 minutes? Without objection? Okay, Jonathan. 90 seconds for question and 90 seconds response. Could our timekeeper please stay on top of that? Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay, Bertolt, I understand how difficult it is to change programming, and believe me, I've been receiving a lot of emails about your programming changes. My question is, after a period of time, say 13 weeks or whatever, are you developing a system whereby you can judge whether or not these programming changes are working for you, on a case-by-case basis, and if they are or not, are you prepared to do some tweaks and make some changes?
Bertolt.
Hello.
Yes. Michael, is Bertolt still on the call?
He's showing us connected.
Michael, I'm sorry.
Michael, yes, what?
Did you receive my text? Jim is trying to...
I can't look at text while I'm looking at the loop-up screen.
Okay,
and
I'm sorry. Jim is asking for you to call his cell.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, Bertolt, did you hear the question?
No.
Okay, Jonathan, could you quickly repeat the question?
Sure, no problem. Real quickly, I'm saying I realize how difficult it is to make the programming changes at any of the stations, but my question is, are you developing or do you already have some type of evaluation system in place where after 13 weeks or so you will be able to judge whether or not these programming changes are really increasing listenership or funding or web metrics or anything like that? And if so, can you share that with us?
We'll call you back.
We're going to be talking to a lot of the programs about what we expect from them. We have already told the programs how much we want them to raise in fundraising. It's not a straight dead number. I mean, obviously, you know, that's our goal for them to reach. I want to talk to them about how we feel that they are doing concerning, you know, revitalizing their shows and concerning reaching out and connecting to New York City. I'm just doing a show and just talking to the city instead of connecting to the city. So we are going to have that conversation in the next, during the drive. That's very difficult now, during the drive and after the drive. And we are tracking also online hits. We get weekly hits on per hour what's going on how many hits the hours are getting. Unfortunately, we don't have any Nielsen numbers to track stuff. But we can track how well the program is doing. Unfortunately, is by checking to see how much money they're raising or whether or not they are actually coming with a premium connected to their show that brings in some form of revenue or at least a premium connected to their show. Because the problem we've had at WBAI really is the fact that we've had very little premiums submitted by those shows. And so we have to repeat, like, a series of pitch on a regular basis. So I have Tony Bates in New York right now helping me out with the Sun Drive and also giving some advice on some of the programming. We obviously were successful in 2014. We had 18,000 members strong, and we kept the membership. Actually, it was going up a little bit. And then we had a $1 million drive, which allowed us to not do a two-week fund drive and then to pitch hard for the BI Buddy, where we have about $12,000 to $15,000 coming on a regular monthly as a sustained donation that we don't never have to pitch on the air for.
Okay. Michael. Michael.
Yes, I don't know. Hang on a second. Yeah, I had a few questions. I'm concerned that we've repeatedly asked for a sort of 30, 60, 90-day plan for WBAI to, share with the PNB some kind of strategy over the next 3 months from when it was called for stabilizing finances and building up the listener base. And I guess I'm also concerned that it's been very difficult to get clear financials from WBA in the past, and I'm wondering if that problem has been solved. And in general, I guess my question is, can somebody lay out more than just wishful thinking about what will promote the station, what will, increase risk development, programming improvement. It would be helpful if we had in writing something from the station very specifically about all those areas, how they're going to be handled, and what the specific goals are. I am very concerned that basically at the National Finance Committee, we've reduced the central service obligation of WBAI for several years, and even those reduced obligations haven't been met. So we really need to see something much more concrete, I think, about how they will be met in the future. The other thing I wanted to say is I don't see this as only a problem at WBAI. Houston, Texas.
And it's the time.
Okay.
Okay. Bertel, did you want to respond to some of 90 seconds to Michael's questions and concerns?
Well, quickly, I'll answer to the financials. I don't understand the question about the financials. The financials are always available in detail. We are totally up to date. Anything you want to know per month or item, we can give that to you, and they are submitted to the national office, the finance team. So I don't understand that part. However, as far as the plan, April 18, my birthday, we had the plan and we submitted it to Sam, and he was putting all of that together. That was including a proposed initiative for 2016 that was submitted to him with the cash flow. So he was supposed to take that together and then merge that with the other four stations and submit it to the board. So we submitted that. You're concerning what we will do to promote the station again in writing. And, I definitely think I can do that for you. I believe the key to any station is programming. WBAI, people forget, used to be, most of our money used to be made to the arts and our connection to the city. And then we became political and kind of dropped the arts completely in the music.
What?
And so there's a big, strong, clean, New York is a artistic center of the universe, of the world. And so we need to focus more on the art and reach out. But we also depend on the national office and all that stuff, and all those audits to be done so that we can sort of get some more grants from the us and from the city council members of New York.
Okay, Bertha, you gotta wrap it up because we're short on time.
Done. I'm done.
Okay, Serene.
Okay, thanks. A couple of things. One is you mentioned something about the LSB restricting you or something like that, Berthold, so I'd like you to repeat that. I don't think I heard it very clearly. That's one. Two, the problem with the program changes that you're making is not that you're making program changes. It is that you're making program changes absent the bylaw required process of collaboration and, respectful consultation with the producers affected. There is no program council at the air right now, but there's also no transparent program process. Some people heard that their slots were changing when other people announced that they were moving into those other people's slots. I mean, that's just not how that has to happen, which is why both the LSB and the PNB Programming Committee have passed motions asking you to please stop the changes, go back to the schedule, and create a process, discuss the process with staff, and then make, necessary changes. It doesn't have to mean make agreed-upon changes, but there has to be a process. So I know we're not making motions now, and I'm driving, so I don't have access to the motion anyway, but the issue is not whether or not things must change. We all agree things must change. How you do it matters. So if you could repeat what you said about the board restricting you in some way, I might have missed that. I'd appreciate it. And
I didn't.
Thank you.
Okay, I didn't.
Mr. Chair, before we are on time, I don't know what you want to do, but we are in the 10-minute time.
Without objection, we'll have let Bertha respond to that, extend for him to respond, and then move on.
Thank you. Okay, I'll be 45 seconds.
Okay.
I didn't say what was the language doing?
I thought you said something about something changed, and there was something about the local station board action of some kind.
Yeah, so it wasn't restrict. The words you used, that was not right. I basically said that there were some personal changes in 2014 that seem to have affected us significantly, and then some of those changes came from the LSB at the time. So I wanted to be very clear on that, and because the reason why I actually brought that up is because somebody mentioned that 2015 to 2014 there was a $1 million drop in revenue. So I wanted to say clearly that I think I know how to remedy that, and I think I know one of the causes for that. What was one of the causes for that? And that caused us to get rid of 29 employees at the time. So that's about it. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to the next phase. Now we're going to have questions from our guests. We'll take a stack. You can have 90 seconds to ask your questions, and it'll be a nice Who's that?
My name is Jim Dingman. I have a question.
Jim?
Dingman.
Okay, anyone else?
John Brinkley.
Okay. All right, Jim, you have 90 seconds to ask a question.
Thank you. I'd like to know from the Pacifica National Board, where are we at with the money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which, as
Janet,
I know,
point of order, Janet.
What's your point of order, Janet?
These are questions, this part are questions for the IED or the WBAIGM.
Well, yeah, we'll just have
later, perfectly appropriate.
Okay.
Well, I think it's reasonable to ask if a couple million dollars hasn't come in and we're facing a fiscal crisis, why hasn't the money come
sorry.
In?
Chair,
okay, Janet,
they won't allow that.
But we would do, please, Janet, just let him finish his question and we'll direct it to the executive director. Okay,
that's
Jim,
my question.
Good.
You want to finish it so we can know what it was again? Just sum it up?
Well, the question is, can somebody summarize where we're at with all that money that is owed to us? That's all.
Okay, Lydia?
Okay. The audit is basically completed. We're about to start the 2015 audit. You have to report in a timely fashion two audits in a row. That's part of it. But you also have to have the numbers. So my concern is even after we get reporting, given the fact that both KPFK and KPFT are no longer eligible based on their dwindling numbers, which are nothing like the ones at BAI, and so they're still at around 15, or at least KPFK is still close to 15,000, around 15,000, I would worry that even if we're eligible, I don't know how many of our stations would be considered eligible based on listenership and membership, which was the criteria for removing KPFK and KPFT off of the eligibility list. I hope this is not our new reality. I think that a key issue is the increase in listenership and membership, and I have asked that the cash flow proposals from the general managers also include a recovery relative to an increase in both, and that's at all of the stations, but BAI took the greatest plunge downward.
Okay. John Brinkley.
Yes, thank you. I just have two quick questions concerning the LMA. First of all, if we lease out the space to the lessee, will they be able to do underwriting? And if so, how would that affect our policy? And the second question is, and related to that, do any of the current prospects, do they do underwriting? And the last question is, if we go into that, what are some of the benefits, other than the station still being on air, what are some of the benefits to our current listeners?
Yes,
Yes, I mean, it would depend on the entity that we picked. If we picked an entity where the programming was radically different versus an entity where the programming is relatively within the realm of our mission statement, but it would have to be somewhat in there anyway. The whole question was more about the finances, or was it more about the?
The second question: what would be the some of the benefits to our current listeners? And
yeah, well,
the first question was the lessee. Do any of the ones that are being considered, do they do underwriting? And
the underwriting.
Is that be a problem for us?
Right. Okay, so it's not. We can do underwriting if we want. Pacifica can engage in underwriting if it chooses to do so. I have referred the board, and I think everyone should read. If you Google John Krigler on underwriting, he happens to be our attorney both for CPB and FCC for decades, and one of the foremost experts on the issues. But nevertheless, it's not that we can't do underwriting, and it's not that we can't, that Pacifica can't choose to do underwriting. We can. What Krigler points out, again, are the levels of scrutiny, and that's both by the FCC and the IRS, depending on how that's done. So that would be true of any entity coming in. It has little to do with us legally. Yes, they can do underwriting. Had we voted to have a commercial station as the LMA, and if we still vote to go that way, they can advertise as well commercially. IRS will only look at then reporting that commercial income, as would be the case if we were to engage in underwriting from non-profit organizations. We would have to report it commercial income.
And what's the benefits to our listeners?
the benefits to our listeners may or may not be the programming, depending on who we pick as the LMA if we were to. And what programming they would choose.
Okay, is there any other questions from the guests?
Yes, I have another question. Jim Dingman.
Or Paul Martin.
First of all, we got to go through those who haven't asked a question first, and we have time.
Of course.
I heard R. Paul Martin.
And Bob Lederer.
And Bob. R. Paul.
Okay. Questions for both the general manager and the interim executive director. First of all, for the executive director. It's a PSOA, not an LMA, and there's a big serious difference. Also, we know who the people are because they've been mentioned already years ago. And does Pacifica Management understand that doing this will result in lawsuits, which means it's going to take time and there will be money problems? For Berthold, you have been reporting that we've been down a lot, and really, what training, in the 6 years you've been at BAI, what training has been offered to the staff? That's it.
Olivia, then Virgil.
Okay. I would find it highly unlikely that our attorney, Mr. Quigler, would have left out the probability of lawsuits. That's strictly within the realm of those people that choose to sue for anything. But nevertheless, and in terms of his memo, and I will read it. I will read this section, and that's the end of this, I think, in terms of the LMA versus CSOA. He writes, "This memo outlines basic legal principles that govern agreements that are variously called a local marketing agreement, LMA, comma, a public service operating agreement, PSOA, comma, a time brokerage agreement, comma, a management agreement, and other variations." So you can call it anything you want. At the end of the day, whatever we
do. Is anyone there? I can't hear anything.
Okay. At the end of the day, the FCC is the one.
Is anyone there? I can't hear anything.
Yeah, Michael, could you try to call Serene again?
Yeah.
And also Jose Luis sent an email that he's trying to get on the call.
And Jonathan Alexander.
And Jonathan. Okay.
And the last sentence in the paragraph is, "For the sake of simplicity, I'll refer to such agreements as an LMA."
Okay, Bob.
Okay, I have a couple of questions for...
Hello? I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
I have a question for General Manager, too.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Diana, what's your...
Regarding our time limit, or we stand, or the stand...
I move that we
add 10 minutes from... to let everybody to ask a question.
Okay. Are you amending to 10 minutes? You want to extend this item for 10 minutes for the question.
I'm asking
yes,
comment. Can you hear me, Tony? Okay. I'm asking how many people who have not yet spoken wish to speak.
Who else want to ask questions and have questions? How many other guests want to ask questions?
Bob Lederer.
I mean, I got
here.
Bob. But
William Hairwagon.
William. Is anyone else?
Mr. Chair, I'll point out that I asked two questions, one of the general manager also.
I'm going to get back. As soon as we wrap this up, I'll get back to them. We'll go back to the general managers to respond.
Tony, Jim Dingman, I wanted to ask a question.
Okay. So... those are the ones. Is there any objection to extending 10 minutes?
Sorry. Yeah, I do. I think we should extend for people who have not yet spoken. It's 10:37, and we've still got a lot of meeting to go.
So are you objecting to 10 minutes, or what do you say?
I'm objecting to second bites at the apple.
Well, we're not going to debate it. The question is extended. Are you objecting to 10 minutes, or you have a modification or motion or amendment?
The amendment is that we're extending for 10 minutes, for up to 10 minutes, for those who've not yet spoken.
Right, and I have another question.
Okay, the motion was to extend. We'll deal with how, whether it's, is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes? Okay, without objection, we extend it for 10 minutes. Okay, Virgil, he want, R. Paul Martin had a question you wanted to, do you recall what R. Paul Martin, you want to repeat
yes.
that, but Virgil?
I recall the question. You want to answer
okay,
the training has, how much training has the staff had? For the first 2 years, there was some training, but after Hurricane Sandy, it was basically, we lost 29 people, so there was, you know, we had like, three people doing the work of 29, so there was no chance for much training. As we hired some interim and temporary program director, they did the best they could. You know, they were from Andrew Phillips to Mario to Ginny, and they had a few sessions, but we didn't have the capacity to train producers. A lot of the producers have been there for a while anyway, so a lot of them, you know, veteran producers, but Apple is right as far as the new shows, they didn't have much training.
Okay, Bob.
Okay, a couple questions for the general manager concerning recent fund drives. Just as best as you can recall, and in sort of in round numbers, for the spring of this year and the summer drives, approximately what was the what was the goal, and how close did it come, and what was the daily required amount to reach that goal, and how far did that fall short? And then the same for the upcoming drive, the overall goal and the daily goal.
All right. So usually we program 31 days, and we've been trying to project 11,500. Well, is that right, Paul, or is that do you have a number, exact number?
May I answer this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've been projecting 12 and change in various different ones. We have averaged 8 and something.
Okay. So basically what we have done is 12 and change times 31 days is $372,000 drive. We do 8. So what we do, we prolong by 5 days. So we usually do like 36 or 37 days times 8,500. And so that brings us to about 300,000. So we usually short about 70,000. And so that's why we have not covered the central service mostly. So the goal is to raise. What happens also is with that, that's it. We usually have like five to seven premiums being repeated over and over again that do all of that stuff. We don't really have that many premiums to offer.
Okay, so my one question wasn't answered about the upcoming drive. What's the goal and what's the daily goal, the overall goal and the daily goal?
Upcoming drive?
Yes.
Okay, for the upcoming drive, the daily goal is we have to project 8,875, which is what has been proven the past two drives about. So these are the daily goals. So for $266,000, but I expect to do more, but I cannot actually say what I'm going to do since it hasn't been proven. That's why I took some measures to have somebody help me with that. I've been preparing for this drive for a month now. So,
okay.
If we do 8,800,
okay. Next person I had is William.
Yeah, hello, William here, Wagon.
Wagon.
The LMA is cannot address past debts. It'll just take care of the current expenses, which, according to the executive director, might include central services. But and the LMA has to be, in my opinion, negotiated very craftily, and Lydia said that. It has to, it could include that we keep certain programming hours, which brings me to my questions. There are two items that haven't been addressed, as far as I know. We haven't resumed negotiating with the Empire State Building that John Proffitt started when he was here briefly to try to actually permanently lower that rent. I haven't heard anything about that resuming. I think that needs to be done because we do the LMA, and if we don't recover at least $1 million in upfront costs, then how's Pacifica going to pay that $1 million? And the other question is, this is for Lydia, both questions. Serene mentioned way back that, and I believe Attorney Melody Virtue, who addressed the PND back
time.
In February 2014. Can I wrap?
Yeah, do you want to wrap it up, William, and Lydia will address it?
That we could possibly, the station, without doing an LMA, could possibly rent out hours to other organizations. Are either of those going to be considered?
Lydia.
Can I address the LMA part, the passive building? I think that's the conversation.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Executive session.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hear from Lydia, and then we'll hear from you. Yes, Lydia.
Okay, I'm sorry, Lydia.
Yes, okay. So, yes, Empire State Building and the nuts and bolts of contracts, including the LMA contract, despite what our Paul said about it having aspects of it having been made public. I think in some instances it was by the people making the application and submitting the proposal. In other instances, we lost some who, because we could not guarantee that it wouldn't be made public, that they bowed out. Because these are always sensitive contractual negotiations, including the Empire State Building. The fact that we owe them is one thing. It's part of our public disclosure of debt and in our audit and so forth. But in terms of the contractual aspect or any negotiations, that will not be discussed in closed session.
And Virgil, you had something quickly to add to that?
Well, Lydia, I said it, that this is a discussion I'd like to have in closed session.
Okay. Is there anyone else who want to ask a question on the guest list who hasn't asked a question?
I'm sorry. I think William had another question. William, did you have another question? Oh, yes. I'm sorry. About the leasing of hours. I will ask John Krigler when he gets back. He's out of town right now. And I will add that to my list of questions.
Thank you.
John Brinkley, point personal privilege. Someone call me on my cell phone because my other phone's getting ready to go dead.
Who is that?
I need to switch phones. Can I just call my...
John Brinkley.
John Brinkley. Michael, did you hear that? Okay, Michael, you going to follow up with that?
Someone has to email him the number. Bob, can you do that?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Adriana.
We reached the extra 10 times that we had for this section.
Okay. We're out of time for this section. If there's no extension of time, we're going to move on to the next item. Okay, so we're moving on to the next item, our presenters from our guests. We'll go in the order that they're listed. I know John Brinkley said he has the recall, so we'll have to get back to him. But each of the guests have 2 minutes, and our timekeeper will stay on top of that. So if John Brinkley, now we'll go to Jim Dingerman.
Right. Yep. All right, ready? All right, thank you so much. First of all, what I was going to ask is that when I was the chair of the WBI Community Advisory Board,
we had people come in to the station to explain the LMAs, and that included one of the people who offered a proposal. And the gist of it was basically that the programming that currently exists will be wiped out, that only 10%, if that, would be kept. And then the other issue is, who benefits from this? Because generally, an LMA is a precursor to sell the station. And I don't have to tell you, here in New York, we're very well aware of people throughout the country talking about that. So that, to me, is an issue. Secondly, the issue is that, and this is through all the Pacifica stations, is that the audience in every Pacifica station is insignificant. That's not only true about BAI, that's true about all the stations. And the fact that that is the case, that's the main issue that the PNB has not addressed for the past 16 years. We have 0.001% of the audience in New York City in a metro market of 16 million. That is the problem. We can change it in a dime, but you need exciting, revolutionary programming that attracts literally thousands of people per hour. Right now, we only have a couple hundred to 600 to 700 people per hour. If we got up to 4,000 or 5,000 people per hour, as Democracy Now! Has, that would be the solution. And no one is talking about that. That, to me, is the main problem that has to be addressed, period.
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia. May I respond to
that? I think we have responses in the end, but we got to go through the – we got 2 minutes for each presenter.
Okay. At some point, I want to correct the record. Thank you.
At the end, if you want to – we have a section where we have a section when the presenters finish, we can ask them questions. You can correct the record then.
Thank you.
Okay, the next person I have is is John Brinkley back on the line? If Michael hadn't called him, then we'll move on to William Hairwagon.
Okay, thank you, William Hairwagon again. I'd like to say that I'm generally leery, perhaps against the concept of a local marketing agreement. But if it comes to pass, because in the PNB's wisdom, it's voted on, there's so much that has to be talked about, and I certainly don't know half of what needs to be talked about, but the things that need to be put into that kind of a contract that could benefit us and maybe holding on to membership. It's not even clear to most people, I think, how the membership is going to function. It's been said that any money raised would go to the station if they did fundraising on the air. I don't even know if that's required. I don't know how the LSB would continue to function. I'm leery. But we have to do a lot of thinking about the negotiating. Then I'd just like to address the programming changes a little. We had a gentleman named Mario Murillo, former staff, come in and be the program director was supposed to be 6 months, and he hung on for many more months. And he made some changes, and we got rid of, I'm not sure it was at that point in time, but we had tried music at 10 a.m. in the past when we had a coup, and it turned out that didn't work out. We got rid of music. Now I understand we're leaning back toward music at 10 a.m. New York wants information, not music at 10 a.m. And then also being undone was a good concept of reviving the behind-the-news concept at, I think it was 5 p.m., those shows, I think most of the hosts have quit because they were cut for a half hour. I don't know that for sure, but cutting them to a half hour after the news or whatever was going on was not a good concept.
901-8627.
This time.
Undoing all
everyone,
the changes that did is not good. Thank you.
We're over time.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Adriana,
I don't know if anybody or Janet can communicate with Otis, because we are receiving news from our listeners, and they are saying that so many interruptions that they cannot hear it. We are not on the air most of the time.
Okay, I don't know if Otis is hearing us. Could you check on the stream? Listeners are saying they can't hear.
I'll take.
Okay. The next person is Varja. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Is it
Varja?
Okay.
Yeah, Varja Kilgour. My huge concern about the leasing agreement is has been sort of. I think that we've all had this emphasized for us by the recent programming changes that were made without, as you know, people have mentioned that there are some people who didn't find out that their programs were gone or moved until they arrived at the station, or somebody told them, happened to see them in their building and told them that we've just had this slew of program changes made without any real process, and they have struck at what you might call, it's sort of like taking out the middle of your lineup right before a fund drive, because it's basically the heart, the soul, and the brains of the station. It's been programs that are of specific interest, that are specifically about African-American community issues, and specifically about immigrant issues, and other, like, basically staples and stalwarts of the station, and it's very hard to see what the reasoning is behind it. And so, if there's going to be an LMA, then how are we going to be able to ensure that WBAI is WBAI if we can't even ensure it when, presumably, it's WBAI? Do you understand what I'm saying? If some of the programming that was put in, the kind of comedy, it's not funny, it's not very well informed, and I don't know, especially just before a fund drive, how this is going to fly. But if we can't keep our integrity, even before an LMA, how are we going to keep our integrity after? How do you negotiate that? How could we? Is there any way that maybe we'd have more integrity with an LMA, but who knows? But this is my concern.
Okay.
Jose Luis for the stack.
Well, Jose, if you look at the agenda, we're just going through our guests, and there'll be some time after we finish the guests to get to discussions with P&V.
Thank you.
Ken? Is Ken on the line? Ken?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Ken, you can hear me now?
Yes.
This is Ken.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Some people are jumping to the LMA solution before making full use of the experienced marketers that we happen to have in our midst, who have presented some very good sustainability plans. And just to give you just a very quick idea of a few of the many, for example, $1 3-month memberships given out from WBAI on the air, and they would include, people would send their, you know, their phone and address with $1, and they would receive a survey about what they wanted to hear on the air. And this way we would get hundreds of new people who could potentially become contributors later. Other ideas are shows targeting specific audiences, such as taxi drivers, specific unions having their own show on, maybe college students, but I think with college students you would have to have a complete WBAI available on the internet, the entire show. Other points I'd like to make are that we really, network-wide, we have to really, really get that CPB money, which we had no trouble getting for many years. It has to be done, and if there's some money which is needed to pay for the audits, those should be maybe special fundraisers, I hate that word, everyone hates that, fundraisers just to get money. You know, there are people, they're very famous celebrities who have their carts on WBAI. Well, let them please put their money where their carts are. And that's one way to get maybe some extra money, but we have to get that CPB money, which is worth spending a little money somehow gotten, if possible. Now, Also, you know, we could sell the buildings. There's some California stations which have buildings which can be sold to get extra money, and they can move to who knows where, outhouses, I don't know. But the thing is that there are things to do long before LMAs come into the discussion.
Time.
Okay.
Bob, letter.
This is John B. I haven't been able to get the other phone working yet, so can I go now before this phone completely goes dead?
Okay, yes. John.
Okay. I have strong reservations about an LMA, and as Bertol kind of alluded in his introductory statements, the current LSB, although diminished, is working on some plan to bring in additional funds, calling to large donors and so on. I think there is a will at the station in order to do the things that are necessary. I think the first thing is a unification of the two competing organizations. Now, how that will come about remains to be seen. But even if that does take a while, we are working on efforts in order to increase funds. We have a current member who is running. I mean, if he isn't elected, he will work on major fundraisers that would not cost us any money. He has, this is five, he has been successful in the past in terms of getting revenues donated, getting food donated so that if we have a banquet or awards dinner or recognition of someone who was the last unifying figure at our station, Samori Marksman, if we could do something centered around him, I think that would be a big leap forward. So I would put LMA lower down on the list, a effort to do increased fundraising as we are already doing as
Okay, Bob, letter.
Can you come back to me, please?
Okay, R. Paul Martin.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, first of all, I object to some LSB members being excluded from this call, but going on, I am against the PSLA stuff. This will destroy WBAI, and it'll never come back. There's no way it's going to come back from that sort of thing. Second of all, Pacifica should be trying to improve itself in order to survive, not trying to cannibalize the stations. The stuff that's going on at BAI is just in the forefront. It's going on at the other stations, and at some point, the other stations are going to be like BAI. The problem, the biggest problem at BAI is we've had no real program director since 1999. That's no good. I mentioned training before. People haven't had it. Bertold thinks some of the longtime producers have had it. No, they haven't. We haven't had real training since the 90s. Pacifica should be concentrating on its programming, not finagling LMAs or any of this stuff. And we need to get the training, and we need to get people on the air who can attract listeners. If there's a PSA or some other thing, as I said, I think there will be lawsuits, and it will take more time that we don't have, and it will cost a lot of money. I've been on the NFC for more than 8 years. I can see Pacifica going downhill financially, and something has to be done, and getting more lawsuits won't help. And people should be aware that all of the stuff that's being done about this will come out over time, and we cannot afford to finagle somebody's pal as the LMA owner or whatever you call it and end up returning WBAI to a certain kleptocracy that made a mess of it in the past. Pacifica needs to clean up its act network-wide. when people say it's a network problem, it is a network problem. All of the stations need to improve their programming and not keep going down the direction they've been going down. And that's what I have to say.
Eve Moser?
Yes, hello. I'm going to bring up a couple of few things that are on my mind. First, I do also want to go on record that I have a very strong, and I'm not alone, objection to the exclusion and disenfranchisement that has been perpetrated on completely duly elected people, okay? Now, next thing is audits. It's unconscionable that any audit has not been done on time. And I think you people, shame on you all, really. And I think that that needs to be numero uno, that you do them, local, national, whatever they are, get them done on time. And if they weren't on time, then get them done now. And that goes, and then the same thing with the CPB funding. You know, you screwed us over about the CPB funds. So do something. Do your job, damn it. Okay, next is the Empire State Building. Again, another thing you should be doing is you're all so busy being the famous Pacifica National Board. So get a lease, do something to fix that. Because you know that this is, you're all complaining about what a big expense it is. I don't know who got us into it in the first place, but do something about it. That's your job. Okay? And now about the LMAs. You all, I hear all this, oh, we don't really want LMAs, and yet you all keep bringing it up. So it seems that it's quite likely that it's going to be brought up more. And what I'm trying to, what I want to say is, better be sure that you bring up current ones, not ones from the past, and that it be an open process that everybody knows about it and can make their proposals, and that they get discussed, and that everybody can compare and contrast and have deep discussions about it, and none of this backroom secretive stuff. Okay, that's it.
Okay, Pauline.